The Millennial Express, plowing ever onward through a northern winter. From station to station, bringing the dissident right to you.
Hello and welcome back to Millennial 2023. There are two streams tonight. Later on it'll be Martin Lichtmess, but first I'm here with Count Dankula. Now I should say that the intro said bringing the dissident right to you, but Dankula is not a member of the dissident right. He is a blue-pilled normie by comparison. Isn't that right, Dankula?
Absolutely, yes. I love Israel. Love Jews, love immigrants, love all of that stuff, man. Right into my veins. Yeah. Fantastic stuff. Yeah. I've got kids to feed, man. Jesus.
All I said was you're a blue pill normie and you're going off on all this. I should say, Dankula has appeared on Millennial several times. I think this is the third time. The first time. Let me see. It has been a while. Okay. Yeah, I think it's the third time. So you wanted to, I mean, I've talked with various people about the events of the year, but I think it would first be fun to open by asking, were you in London a few weeks ago when this terrible incident happened?
I was getting tagged shit tons on Twitter, and the Metropolitan Police were saying, oh, we are appealing for witnesses who saw an incident that happened, blah, blah, blah. And you basically saw a man on a bike, a man, you know, with curly hair and one of those fucking... What's the name of that fucking monster that hides in the cupboard that wears that weird fucking hat? A Babadook, right? That's what he looked like, yeah. So basically, had curly hair. Basically, a guy punched a Jew off a bike, putting it bluntly, right? And the guy unfortunately looked a lot like me.
It's unfortunate.
Yes, unfortunate. I'm a lot taller than that, though. But basically, the guy was clearly moving in and punched the gentleman off of the bike, and people were tagged, including you. were tagging me in that shit, and loads of people were under the Met Police's tweet going, that's Count Dankula, that's Count Dankula, that's Count Dankula, they did that and everything, and I was panicking because I went, what if they take it seriously? Because yeah. I was in London at the time that it fucking happened.
But it definitely wasn't you.
It definitely was not me, as I've been advised to say by my lawyer.
I mean, obviously, I should just make this clear. First of all, I didn't at the Met Police. It was just an obvious in-joke.
I know, it was funny. It was funny.
Yeah. But I should say, obviously, Dank would never do something like that. And neither would I, just to be...
Especially not in front of fucking cameras like that. Jesus Christ, what an idiot.
Exactly.
you check first. At least throw your hood up.
Yeah, I'd put on my mask.
Yeah. Fucking hell.
But, yeah, this kind of thing does happen. I mean, I don't know if you want to talk about especially it's happened recently with tensions in the Middle East and the Gaza conflict. I don't know if you want to talk about that kind of thing.
See, whenever that like conversation comes up, I just say, not my pig, not my farm. Nothing to do with me, not my people, not my countries. Like, when everyone's like, oh, but Israel and Palestine, and I'm like, where are they again? Oh, they're at the end of the Mediterranean, right, so not in Scotland.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, elements of it are here, but
yeah,
but like, yeah, I don't care.
I think I wish that we could just all feel that way about this, that it wasn't imposed and something we're supposed to care about and so on. Because it really, when I start hearing about all this stuff, it just sounds so alien. to me.
Yeah, it's Warhawk shit. It's Warhawk bullshit. All the neocons and neolibs are pure like, oh, we're going back. We're going back to the Middle East, you know? And it's like, I don't give a fuck anymore. I don't.
And they really did want to do that. I think they wanted to recreate the War on Terror from the early 2000s. And I think you and I are both old enough to remember that, what it was like.
Wonderful for the economy. So it was. Excellent for the economy. And I've noticed we're in a little bit of a slump, so let's have a fucking war. You know, let's get those numbers going back up.
Well, people have been saying that for several years, that the only way out of this economic trouble is a huge war.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's the other thing. There was the danger, maybe still is the danger, of it spreading and becoming a huge, huge thing, like Russia and China. That doesn't seem to be happening. But
I do think that America is definitely on the back foot. I've been saying for years now, see this American global hegemony that they've enjoyed for, you know, decades and decades now, I see that going away next 10 years. It's going to be gone because Russia just went to the point like, fuck you, what are you going to do about it? And just like invaded Ukraine. And despite the billions and billions and billions that America was throwing at them, you know, despite what the propaganda tells you, Russia's kind of winning. So yeah, and basically if they do, that's a massive embarrassment for America and all of Europe, who are propping Ukraine up, where even all these countries throwing all of their money and even Redditors going over and signing up to fight in the fucking stupid Redditor brigade or whatever the hell it was, they're all going over there as well, and still Ukraine's probably going to lose.
Is that the kind of the Redditors? I don't go onto Reddit, and but I hear dreadful things about it. Actually, one of the things that I remember reading about a year ago, someone saying that the more open an online space is, the less censored it is, the more right wing it will become.
Yep.
But the more centered it is, the more left wing it will become. And they use the examples of 4chan and then Reddit. Reddit was the opposite extreme of 4chan. Yeah. And I also don't have much experience of 4chan. And I don't know why that is. It was never on my radar. But Reddit just has this reputation for being, I don't know, like a creche for adults.
I just imagine, you know, just some fat guy with a big, massive wall of Funko Pops behind him. Like, you know, that's your average Redditor. And other, you know, the ones that walk around like pure, you believe in God? Like those guys, like that's what they are. Never touched a boob in their life. Like those guys.
Yeah. I think that there's a lot of that now. It's a sad thing. There are lots of these people who are kind of lost souls, but they take to fashionable ideas, they hoping presumably that it will, if not get them sex, it will win them female approval at any rate.
Oh yeah. Oh, I love you. Look at all the flags that I've got in my bio on Twitter. I support all these wonderful fucking causes. Can I touch your boobies now? Like that. Like that is what it seems. I think it's like, you know, maybe it's like this weird type of game where like none of these guys hold any actual opinions or convictions. They're just desperate for pussy. It takes me back to that fucking meme where the guy's dating one of those weird like crystal witchy women people, and then it's like the little Pepe going in desperate for sex voice. And what does this crystal do? that's what it seems like. Or me, whenever I'm around Abby Shapiro. I actually think it was 7 million, you know? Like,
of course.
Yeah, of course.
I don't know what the fuck to say to that.
I'm just saying, see if there's anything that could destroy the dissident right, it's Abby Shapiro's tits. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, well, I do have several memes related to that matter.
Yeah, like I'll never forget that 4chan post where obviously, you know, women's breasts get larger when they get pregnant, and it was on poll, and someone just posted, Abby Shapiro is pregnant, Lord grant me strength. That man and everyone on poll was just posting pictures of that guy dabbing his head with a rag and all that, man, because she confuses all of them.
Well, the thing is, I don't know how anyone can fancy Abby Shapiro because she looks like Ben Shapiro. I mean, it's quite clear resemblance, and that just freaks me out.
You wouldn't want to hate fuck Ben Shapiro?
No, definitely not. No.
Why not? Call yourself the saviour of the white race. Fuck sake, man. You need to look, sometimes you need to get your hands dirty, right?
Not that dirty. Here is one.
Look at, oh God. Yeah, that was the picture that the guy posted on 4chan. I mean
they are pretty, it's kind of improbable. I think this was before AI.
this is the thing. It's like I've seen, like, even when I was down in London, I was chatting with a bunch of guys who you would have liked very, very much, and even they were like, Abby Shapiro though, makes me question my politics. Maybe they're not so bad. Like,
she's one of the good ones.
Yeah, she'll be one of the ones we keep. Yeah.
Her and Winona.
Fuck you.
No, I don't know.
These are all jokes. These are all jokes, everyone.
Yeah, of course we're joking. I just don't fancy her. It's this thing. It's like Jordan Peterson's daughter, where, yeah, she's all right, but then you realise that she looks like Jordan Peterson. And I just find that disturbing. So anyway, I won't show any more of these memes. They're disgusting. So
yeah, okay. Okay.
I don't approve of them.
Absolutely awful right click save.
Yeah. Well, so what about, I was going to ask you about, Ukraine and all that. That is an interesting thing. And it follows, because all of this has actually happened since, well, in the last 2 years, the Afghanistan withdrawal, which I think was sort of embarrassing for America. Yeah. Then, well, Ukraine, which, and from the start, it seemed like this is a terrible, it's not going to work. They're not going to beat Russia. It's a fucking stupid idea.
Yeah.
Regardless of which side you support, it's just they're not going to win. And then thirdly, what's happened recently in Gaza. So I do agree with you that I think it looks like America's just, it feels like the end of an era.
It does. And it feels like, everybody says that 9/11 was the day that the world changed. I think that was America's like last big hurrah, where it's like, oh, now we get to invade a bunch of countries in the Middle East, you know, cost us tens of thousands of the lives of our own people and all that, trillions of dollars, and 20 years later, just for us to like then pull out and all that and leave like billions and billions of equipment behind. So now all the fucking people that we were just fighting are now heavily fucking armed and everything, which would make another invasion of the place pretty much impossible now and stuff like that. It's just been farce after farce. And I think that when America did go into Iraq and into Afghanistan and like the countries like fell in like a couple of days, and Afghanistan never really fell. There was still like, you know, obviously constant conflict all the way through it with all these different groups and everything. I think that was America trying to like swing its dick over the world, like, look what we can fucking do. We took down two countries in 2 years and all that shit. But then they've absolutely fumbled the ball, and everybody's realizing that because of rampant inflation, the fact that the president's a literal fucking retard and all that, like, all these other countries are going, look, basically, you know, they've seen that the fucking tiger's actually wounded. Right, so now it's definitely the time. Yeah, they're now going, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah, and I think that Biden, as you say, he's clearly not all right.
I think it's a shame.
I don't know if it's dementia as such, but he's clearly not okay.
It's like we can sit there and like make fun of him and all that type of stuff, right? But bear in mind, you're essentially bullying a disabled man.
Well, yeah, I like to think of it as we're bullying the administration, the people who put him there. Because he himself, the thing is, I don't really know anything about Biden himself, and I don't care. That's not the point.
Biden doesn't know anything about himself. He forgot it all.
Fuck's sake. Even Hunter, I think, is too drugged up to remember anything about himself. It's a weird, and that's a whole other thing in itself. That's another thing that I think degrades America in the world's eyes, that this guy is just going around having sex with whores and possibly underage whores, and taking drugs and filming himself doing everything. There was a hilarious meme of him with, like, whenever he, I think it was whenever Hunter Biden talks to a woman, or and he's covered in security cameras filming it from 10 different angles because that's how he seems to live. It's almost like he wants to get caught, so he makes sure that he will. He does the recording himself.
Yeah, it's like fucking. It's even the fact as well as, oh yeah, this laptop with like a giant pile of compromising shit on it, I'm just going to hand it in to get repaired and then forget about it and just leave it there. Is that you? Utter fucking moron like that. Like, I mean, I don't approve of what he fucking did, you know, like, I think, you know, smoking crack and like banging probably underage prostitutes, not very moral, I would say, like, you know, not the best. But to then record it and say, oh, hey, random IT guy, here's a laptop that could literally alter the fucking direction of an election in the most powerful country on earth. And they knew that that's what was going to happen, which is why every single news agency shouted it the fuck down until after the election and went, oh, well, there you go. And shit tons of people were saying, if I had known about that laptop, I would never have voted for Biden.
I can remember saying to someone who really is a blue pill normie that I said to him, have you heard of Hunter Biden's laptop? I think this was just before the election. And yeah. And he said, no, what are you talking about? And it's like, we had been all over Twitter and Telegram and Gab and everything. And so we'd been talking about it for weeks and weeks at that time. And I realized this guy effectively lives in a completely different world from me because he hasn't heard of this at all.
Yeah.
Because the BBC haven't said it. CNN haven't said it. The Guardian hasn't said it. The Times hasn't said it. None of them have mentioned this phrase, Hunter Biden's laptop. So it just doesn't exist in his world. Of course, yeah. It does now, but as you say, that's after the election, and so it doesn't really matter anymore. But yeah, go on.
No, I was just saying that's the thing that I've pointed out for ages. See how, you know, free speech, which I've been known to bring up from time to time, and everything is, see when you start to actually control, see in a democracy, if you want to remain in power, it's essential that you control the flow of information and what people are allowed to talk about. Right, because see, basically, why do you vote the way you vote? It's because you received a bunch of information, you weighed up the pros and cons, you heard all the arguments, and then you made a decision of who you were going to vote for. But the first part of that is receiving the information to make a decision. Meaning if you control the information that the wider public has access to, you control the outcome of elections, which in my eyes makes it no different than a dictatorship, because you're tricking people to vote for the dictator every year. But they think it's not like a North Korea thing where there's only one name on the ballot. You know, they can have 100 names on the ballot, but with all the media working together, they'll get everyone to vote for their guy.
Yeah. Right,
so that's essentially that. Basically, Hunter Biden's laptop proved that, because if the wider public knew about it, Trump would have been president again.
Yeah, yeah. It was they're literally shaping the election, and that's what they're doing with all the online censorship. And they're quite openly talking about doing the same. Now, I couldn't believe it in 2020 when, after the election, like six, no, maybe even less than that, like 3 months after the election, this guy published an article, I think in Time magazine, saying, yes, we did rig the election. And here's how we did it. Here's everything we did to ensure we got the result we wanted. But it was fortifying the election.
Fortifying the election. Yeah, yes. Fucking buzzword bullshit. Like, they rigged the election, right? They rigged it. And if that isn't making everyone want to just burn everything down, because, like, it's a whole, oh, the democratic system, it doesn't exist. That's the weird thing. It doesn't actually exist. Like, it's a case of if they can't trick everybody to vote the way that they want, then they'll just outright rig the elections, you know, like mysterious ballots turning up at, like, 4 a.m, all mail-in. Funnily enough,
that was another thing. All the things that were going on during that night. I don't know if you were. Did you stay awake for it?
I think I appeared on a few streams. I think I was even on InfoWars when all that shit went down as well. Right. Yeah, Alex was having a hard time.
All throughout the night, it was one scandal after another.
Yeah,
skullduggery
blocking the windows. and all that to like the counting rooms and all that stuff. They weren't allowing the reporters or anybody in. Well, sorry, they weren't allowing right wing reporters to come in and actually look at the count and everything. Yeah, it was the entire thing was completely sus. And I think it was because of the sheer fucking panic that happened when Trump got in, because Trump's not in the club, right? He's not in, you know, the little special club of people that are pre-selected to, you know, to man the ship for like the next 4 years. So, and I think the reason they weren't expecting it is because nobody wanted to get fired from their jobs and nobody wanted an argument. So whenever anybody asked, who are you voting for? Hillary, I'm voting for Hillary, because they just didn't want the shit that came along with being a Trump voter, which is why when the votes came in, that's when the club were like, oh no, shit, this guy's actually going to fucking win. And he did win. And like, name a single president in like American history that had like 80% of the media come after him and just make up shit. There was like Pissgate, there was the whole grabbing by the pussy fucking bullshit and all that as well. Even now, they're still after him when he's not even on social media. He's on Truth Social, but nobody's on there. And all that. It's just, it's fucking like amazing, like how much they came after him. And everybody's going like, Trump is going to fucking like destroy the country. I fucking hope he does. Jesus Christ, that man. Like, you have just proved that the entire thing's fucking rigged. And when you don't get your way, you'll literally burn everything fucking down to the point where you elect in a retard.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Absolutely. This is why I think that it was genuine. You know, because some people say that Trump is, you know, he's off the elite class and he was working on Wall Street and all that. Yeah. And so therefore it was all fake. He was part of it. I don't think so. I think they genuinely went shat themselves when they realized that he was going to be the president. And because and it wasn't because he was actually going to do anything, because he didn't really do anything. But he was a symbolic threat to them.
Yeah.
Same thing with Brexit, really, unfortunately. But you know, they can control the consequences, but still the thing itself is offensive to them. And Trump, I think he really scared them, because it's the public showing that they are not on site. They don't agree with the Washington Times journalists. They don't agree with the BBC. They have a different worldview, and that
even Disney's winding back and all this fucking trans and gay bullshit that they keep putting in every single fucking. Remember when movies were just about a good story? Do you remember?
Yeah, I do.
I think the last good movie I've seen that came out was 1917. Have you seen that movie?
I haven't. That's Christopher Nolan, isn't it?
Yeah, World War One. Some of the scenes are. It's all essentially done in like one big shot as well. It's a fucking excellent movie. It's incredible. That's the last like good movie I can remember coming out that I've seen. Everything else is just. I like the fact was, oh, here's a trans black lesbian, and it's like, oh, cool, what's it about? I don't know, I'll figure it out. Man, like, there's no substance to any, like, media that gets created anymore, but this is, like, the thing that is, and I don't know if I've discussed this with you in the past, right, because one thing that's happening is an inevitable shift whenever media becomes so controlled. Do you remember, have you ever heard of the Hays Code?
No.
Right, you're going back to, like, 1920s, 30s, 40s, like America, right? And the Hays Code was enforced by a guy called William Hays, and it was essentially the rules for Hollywood, right, when it comes to their movies.
Yeah, I think I have heard of this. It was called something like the Production Code.
Yeah, it was the same thing. Yeah, it was basically, in a movie, you weren't allowed to glorify crime or criminals. You weren't allowed to glamorize them. So see how, like, your gangster movies, those weren't allowed. That unless it was like a good guy fighting against the gangsters. At the end of the movie, the bad guy always had to get his comeuppance. No gays, no blacks, no portraying whites as slaves, which was a strange one.
I thought you were going to say Irish.
No Irish. But like, basically, it was all these strict rules that were placed on Hollywood. And basically, every movie that came out just felt like a sermon, you know, the way that media does now, where it's like, you're awful, you're bad. This is how you should be. This is how you should act. You know, back then it was all that stuff. But now it's, you should be anti-racist and anti-fascist and blah, 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 blah. And just like, and basically back then, what happened was everyone just started tuning out. Everyone was like, we fucking hate this. This is shit. These movies are absolutely terrible. So they started watching foreign films. And back then, foreign films were dominating the American market. Nobody was watching American-made movies because they weren't really about good stories. They were about fucking, like, sermons and shit like that. But then what happened was, in the 60s, things started to get a lot more relaxed, and that's when you started having your Godfathers, your Aliens. You started getting, like, some good fucking movies coming out, like, really good films. And that is only when people started to engage and get really into it again. Now, the thing is, everybody was saying, oh, let's enforce, you know, the right-wing conservatism with the Hays Code. Didn't fucking work. What happened in the 60s and 70s? Everybody was all having fucking orgies and taking LSD and sleeping in parks and joining the Manson cult and all this fucking stuff as well. Like, society went through a really bad time during that time. So see, even though they tried to control, you know, what the future public would become, what the younger generation would become, they went the exact opposite fucking direction, which means right now, when they're pushing really fucking hard to make everybody a left-wing socialist, non-binary fucking furry or whatever, the exact same thing's going to happen. So basically, the younger generation are going to go, fuck this. And I would say, like, the 2020s, 2030s are going to be some very right-wing years. Very right-wing years. Because, you know, Hays Code caused a big left-wing surge, and this is going to cause a massive right-wing surge because people are rejecting this media just like they were back then.
So you believe in the based Zoomer?
I believe in the based Zoomer theory, yes.
Yeah, right, okay. Because that was the thing.
Not all of them. Like, I'll admit, you know, you get different opinions, but, you know, a lot of them I'm noticing more to the right. Yeah, fuck.
Yeah, I mean, because that was a thing a few years ago. People were, yeah. I don't know what the evidence was at the time. I guess it was that some of them were looking at 4chan on their phones at school or something.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever it was. Then we lost faith in it. And now there's a whole resurgence of this, that you know, this is what they're like at university. They're, you know, I saw this thing about a week ago. It was this teacher lamenting that the students are even racist about themselves. Chinese students will call themselves slanty eyes and chinky and stuff. And she was despairing. How can this be happening? How can they do this to themselves even? And it's rather amusing. But anyway, yeah. I obviously I don't approve of such lowbrow stuff. But anyway, the point is, it does seem to be resurging and confirming what people thought in the first place, that the Zoomer generation is going to be very, very sharply split between complete, I mean, just brainwashed, trans
all they care about is TikTok likes and all that stuff, yeah. But then you're going to get the other ones that actually give a fuck about the future,
yeah, and are very, very right wing,
yeah.
So there isn't going to be a certain nuanced middle, because that's that in a way I think that's the problem. There's always been the center ground who are just sort of clueless, don't really understand, they're always trying to compromise, and that's what's enabled this situation to come about in the first place.
I think it's also mostly because it's being taught by authority figures, right? Remember, like, you just hated your teachers in school. They were arseholes, right? And sometimes your mum and dad were like total arseholes to you as well. So see if they turn around and start saying, you will behave this way, you will behave that way, you will love trans people, that is a woman, and all this type of fucking pish, right? People just end up rebelling against it. That's what happened in the 70s and 80s when you had punk and like rockers and metalheads and all that stuff started coming out because they were rejecting the status quo. Now, this is the thing that's funny is we've been in this fucking weird pseudo-liberal fucking thing for maybe about like 20-something years now. So I like to make the joke that current liberals are actually conservatives because they are trying to preserve the way things are.
Well, they definitely are. They definitely yeah. are, though.
Oh, I mean, fuck I.
And I just came up with this meme from a while ago. this is the kind of thing that you're talking about, where people are pressured to believe stuff that is obviously bollocks.
Greta Thunberg triggers my uncanny valley so much, man. I don't think she's a real person.
I'm sorry to. There's so many memes.
She's patient zero for ChatGPT. I swear to God, like that. Yeah. She is the hive mind.
Yeah, there is something quite freaky about her. There we go. Another one there.
Fucking hell.
You see what I mean? But and then this. So is this fake, artificial load of nonsense that people are pressured to believe. And I think
it's the war is peace, freedom is slavery, yeah, ignorance exactly. is strength type thing. Yeah, this is a basically real world example of it.
Exactly. And, you know, I guess there is only so much of that that people can take. Even in the Soviet Union, you know, people didn't really believe.
Yeah.
They just knew that they had to pretend to believe. But eventually it all failed. It all fell apart.
Well, that's why I'm so hopeful about the American hegemony and all this fucking like global empire like bullshit, because eventually the state gets to such a size and such a magnitude that it can't function anymore. The reason America's been able to go on for so long is they just print money and, you know, the America is $30 trillion in debt. To who? Don't ask that question. But basically,
ICOMS, yes,
of course. But basically, they've managed to rig the system so that they can continue and continue and continue. But all they're really doing is they're making the crash so much worse when it eventually does happen, and it will happen. For example, like the Soviet Union, as soon as there was a tiny bit of weakness in it, and you know they kept up the facade of being all powerful and all strong and all that type of stuff as well. But as soon as people saw a chink in the armor, boom, the Iron Curtain fell. All the generals quit their jobs. They all stole tanks and sold them to African warlords. The country just absolutely fell apart. So that's why I know that people freak out about like the one world government fucking thing. I'm not worried about it. I reckon over the next 100,000 years, there's probably going to be dozens of one world governments. Because, yeah, they'll probably be able to start one. They won't keep it. It's impossible to keep it. Everyone's too different. Everybody, you know, when it comes to communities and everybody and all that, you know, I think the only way that it could be achieved is if everybody was the same color, same language, same fucking everything, you know, all that type of stuff. And I think even then it would still be a struggle to actually maintain it.
Yeah. You know? Well, because that's why, I think that's why they encourage so much mixing in every way. So that everyone is, you know, the same. I think that's the hope. A few generations from now, there won't be any diversity. So the results of all this will be that we completely eliminate the thing we claim to love so much.
Yeah, exactly.
And then we'll all get along.
You think that? <It's> like, we're not getting along now. Man, like, fuck me. It's funny. It's adorable that they think that. Yeah.
Well, another thing I wanted to ask you about, I've actually had quite a few Scottish people on this year. I think you're the fourth one, because I'm often accused of neglecting
people.
Yes, and I don't mean to, actually, accidentally this year there have been quite a lot of people on Millennial, Scottish people. So that's nice, and each of them have talked about the situation in Scotland. Are you worried about, you know, the hate speech laws, that kind of stuff, the censorship that is specific to Scotland?
It's the way it works. I know that they brought in like the hate crime bill that Hamza Yousaf brought in, which was extraordinarily unpopular, and it was one of the nails in the SNP's coffin, especially for Nicola Sturgeon. As far as I know, because usually whenever anybody gets arrested for free speech related stuff in Scotland, I get an email. They'll usually like message me, and I've got people that I put them in touch with to get support and help. But like, as far as I know, there's people been charged under Section 127. There's so many all the time. But the new hate crime bill, I haven't actually seen it applied yet. I haven't seen anybody getting convicted of it. But that's what they do with laws. What they do is, you know, they'll bring a law in, and then they'll let the law sit. And you'll get, like, over the next, like, 3 years, you'll get maybe, like, 1, 2, 3 charges done under that law. But what they do is they make sure that those charges set precedents related to other law, because then that law becomes entangled in lots of different laws. And then they ramp up the convictions, and then they ramp up the precedents that it sets. And they're like, well, lots of other laws draw from this law, so we can't repeal it now because it's now so set. And basically, you know, the lawfare structure that the government tries to build. Oh, if you remove one domino, it all comes down. So you can't remove this law, etc. So that's what they do. That's what they did with Section 127 as well. So they basically just let it simmer a little bit until it builds up and gets attached to other laws. And then they're like, oh, we can't take it out. It will destroy so much, blah, blah, blah. And of them. So basically, I would say 5 years from now, you're going to see a lot. You're going to see a lot of people getting convicted under the hate crime bill. And but the thing is, it's like it tanked the SNP's popularity. It tanked it. And then Hamza Yousaf got voted in by the SNP, not by the people, by the SNP. And that's tanked SNP support as well. And then Nicola Sturgeon's getting investigated for a £120,000 fucking motorhome that was just resting in my driveway. Like, that type of shit. Like, yeah, like, it's tanked them now. And one of the things that I've loved so much, right, is I've got so many friends who are, like, staunch SNP supporters, you know, nationalists, proper nationalists, you know, the ones that want to open the doors and rejoin the EU and bring in all the immigrants and stuff like that. Yeah, those types. It was hilarious watching them squirm at the fact that the Scottish nationalist dream is now going to be delivered by a brown man. And it was...
does that not... I guess for them that doesn't make any difference because...
it does. It bothers them. This is the thing that I found weird. This was, like, they were sitting there, like, I don't know. I would kind of rather it was someone Scottish. And then I was like, he was born here, how fucking dare you, you know, man? And I was like, he is Scottish. Hamza Yusuf, a proud Scottish name dating back generations in Kashmir, but, you know, don't worry about it. But it was like, and I ended up having chats with him, and I was like, no, don't worry, you're among friends. You can tell me, go on, please be racist. And the thing is, they say some stuff that is kind of racist. So,
yeah.
That was unexpected. I didn't expect hearing that from them.
Yeah, I'm surprised, actually. But then again, I shouldn't be, because this is what I've said for years, that deep down, everyone kind of feels like this. It is weird to think that, well, this is now Scotland. And, you know, every time I go back to Scotland, it's changed, visibly changed, even in the rural towns. And it is... I do think a lot of people who would never say it out loud must be thinking, what the fuck is going on? You know, the country's changing.
Look at SNP's polling. It's tanking. The problem is we're going to get Labour if the SNP fail. Like, even the SNP's little maniacs in the Greens aren't going to be able to save them this time. But I'm noticing some people swinging to the right in Scotland, because Scotland's, you've experienced the mindset. If anything bad happens, it's the Tories. If anything good happens, it's the left wing or Labour or fucking whoever, right? But the thing is, everyone's like, oh, Tories this and Tories that. My brother in Christ, the Tories haven't been in power in Scotland for fucking decades, and yet they're still blamed for everything bad that fucking happens in Scotland.
Yeah. I mean, I guess they would say, well, but they're in power in Westminster. Which, fair enough, but the SNP in power in Scotland...
That's the thing, is with what authority? They're not in charge. They get outvoted on everything in Holyrood.
Yeah,
like basically the Tories in Scotland are just for show.
They're just there to act
as a counter voice.
It's a really weird thing to think that the Tories. I mean, Scotland used to be a Tory country a long time ago, in the '50s.
It was Thatcher. Thatcher kind of fucked it, because even she started shutting down, like, the mines and the fucking shipyards and all that type of stuff, and basically made everyone unemployed. That was the big shift. And basically, people were raised by a generation of people that fucking hated the Tories, and that hatred's just passed on from generation to generation. And I'm not saying the Tories are a great party. They're fucking shit. They're not conservatives by any measure whatsoever.
No, they don't conserve anything.
They don't conserve anything. What was it they said? It was the Conservative Party is liberalism driving the speed limit, essentially. Yeah.
Well, and all the worst parts of liberalism as well, like, you know, shutting down, letting industries go to the wall, letting people just languish.
Renting out entire hotels with taxpayer money to house all the migrants.
Yeah.
And then rapes in the area go up. How weird is that? It's strange.
I know. Weird. And again, this has happened under the Tories. And what can you say? You know, what are they conserving? Absolutely nothing. I think the country, if anything, it's been worse than it was under Labour. So I don't know.
There's no viable alternatives. I mean, one possibility was UKIP, but then, let's be blunt, Nigel fucked everybody over and tanked the party. Me and Sargon still get blamed for that. Do you know that?
Well, I think it was Nigel. I agree with you.
Thank you. It was because we were there. Our names didn't even, never even get mentioned. Just Nigel went, "I'm leaving and taking all the good people with me," and all that, and just fucked us. But that's the thing is, he was like Mr. Brexit. So of course, when he went, the votes went with him, and all that.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. I think he'd already done that by the time you and Sargon got involved. If yeah. I recall correctly, he'd already pissed off. I don't know why. I don't know what his reasoning was.
But it was like he sort of like the Brexit vote passed, and he was still a member of the party and everything, and he was still like doing interviews and all that stuff. But it was like spiritually, he wasn't in it anymore. He was sort of like, "Oh, I've got Brexit. That's it. It's done. Like my job here is done." But he still collected his fucking 100-something K a year for still being an MEP. And all that. But then, and this was the thing that always bothered me, right, is we went to a UKIP event and Nigel gave a speech and Nigel got booed by his own party in UKIP. And it was not long after that that Gerard Batten was considering bringing in Tommy Robinson. And that's when Nigel went, "Oh, that's the last straw. I'm leaving the party. Oh, by the way, I have this whole new party set up that's already eligible to run in MEP elections and blah, blah, blah." And it's like, that takes 8 months of paperwork alone. You had this plan for a very long time. Tommy just gave you the excuse. And that's, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I appreciate what Nigel does. I agree with him on a lot of things. But I think he's a lot more in it for himself than, you know, the actual cause.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have reached the same conclusion. They've said the same thing to me. I've never met him or had any contact with him. Just
well, I fucking bumped into him when I was down in London now.
Really? By accident?
Wasn't happy to see me. I just walked past him smiling because he doesn't like me because, like I've just done, I tell people what actually happened. Nigel fucked everyone over in UKIP. And that's why I don't understand why fucking all these leftists are like, you and Sargon. And I'm like, hold on, do you hate me and Sargon more than Nigel fucking Mr. Brexit Farage? Right, you should be using this to fucking bash him, but no, they want to get fucking me and Sargon with it. Well, that bit is annoying.
Yeah, I understand. I think that I think that they probably think that Gerard Batten took the UKIP in a sort of wild direction, which he did. I mean, it was a risk to do that, to go away from standard old politics to YouTube.
Gerald, very, very, very based in private.
He seems like a good guy.
He's a good guy.
And I wish that it had worked out, that it, you know, what he did with UKIP. Because it was brave. I mean, and it was exciting at the time. I mean, I think, you know, it's another thing that I have some nostalgia for, especially because it was more to do with Britain than the 2016 stuff. There was a nice moment there in 2018-19 where it felt like there's a sort of free speech movement, and it is kind of based. It's not, you know, there are different aspects to it. It was new. It was exotic and exciting. And yeah, then it fizzled out. It's a damn shame.
It is, but I do see it making a comeback because I'm seeing a lot of people that are saying that they don't feel represented by any of the parties whatsoever anymore. I don't feel represented by any of the parties, like the mainstream ones. But it's, and people are getting sick of it. Like we were talking about, if there is hope, it lies with the Zoomers. Like that stuff, but you're getting the average people. See, the thing that turned everybody in Scotland away from the trans stuff is when wives told their husbands, or the government saying that a man in a dress should be able to get changed in front of her 6-year-old daughter. And that's when all the Scottish dads started going, nope, you know, if you want him to get out his chair, say something like that to him.
Yeah.
Right. And I am noticing like that shift. And one of the phrases that I'm hearing all the time is, "You should have stopped at marriage."
You see, this is what I always thought, that people aren't going to tolerate, parents aren't going to tolerate anything that endangers their kids, like the pedo stuff. I was amazed. See, with the trans stuff, they got that in, well, that was when these two things merged, the getting kids involved in it and the trans thing, and you get drag kids. And I think a lot of, like, fucking Guardian reading middle class women went in for that. They thought, oh, that sounds nice.
Yeah.
Just completely dazed, thinking that they're being open-minded and enlightened. But the guys, well, then you've got the guys who are married to such women who tend to be kind of, you know, cucked. But then every other guy is thinking, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
What the fuck are you doing?
I still completely believe, right, that, see all of this, oh yeah, your 10-year-old can completely consent to hormone blockers and getting their tits or their dick fucking chopped off and blah, blah, blah. I think that was 100% to skew consent. I totally believe it was, but it's like, oh, if they can consent to that at that age, what else could they consent to at that age? That is fully my belief that it was basically to drive down consent with kids so that they're able to consent to adult things.
And also they've given them the vote as well. At least in Scotland, 16-year-olds have the vote. So that's everything is being brought down.
What do 16-year-olds vote for? Fucking free stuff.
Yeah,
that's what they vote for.
They vote for whatever they think, whatever has been told to them is cool and desirable. So. Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be the left. But yeah, I do agree with you. I think that the drag, this is why it was so sinister and why various people who were actually on the left before, that was the straw that broke the camel's back for them, because they saw this is unnatural, it's wrong, it's dangerous, it's specifically harmful to children. Yeah. And it opens the door, as you say, for, well, you know, why shouldn't 12-year-olds be sexually available to 30-year-olds kind of thing, which is just absolutely, I mean, it's just the door to hell.
I still fully believe that that's the main reason behind the push for all this stuff. But I do feel it has been massively rejected, which I'm very, very pleased about. Like, the public are starting to go, you've taken this way too far, fuck off. But the whole, like, trans in your kids stuff isn't going away now, because there was a tweet I seen. And it's one of the darkest fucking things that I ever read, right? And I forget who it was that posted it. But someone says, even if, like, all the public at large, all the media, Disney, Netflix, everyone just say, right, fuck the trans and stuff, we're dropping it. It's all gone now and disappeared from the media. You will always hear about it from the parents of trans children. So these were parents who went, oh, hello there, my 9-year-old. Is that you playing with a Barbie? Oh, well, let's get the scissors. Right, like those ones that actually fully pushed them, fully enabled it and all that type of stuff, they will always constantly say it's a good thing, it's a wonderful thing, even if their child looks like a fucking mutant or probably committed suicide or their body and organs are shutting down from all the medication and surgeries that they had to have. That parent will always say that what they did was a good and just thing, because see, if they don't say that, then they have to face the reality of what they did to their child. And that, I read that tweet and that fucked me up. I was like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yeah. It's roping the parents in to something that they then cannot afford to leave, because they'd have to admit that it was a mistake all along and they were duped and they've...
And they enabled and encouraged and drove them to the appointments and paid for the surgeries, and they were the ones that did it themselves to their own child. And by the way, a part of me doesn't blame them. That's a very difficult reality to face.
Especially if the experts are telling you this is the thing to do with your child.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fucking horrendous. It's really bad.
Yeah.
I'm sending my children to Catholic school specifically to avoid all this bullshit.
I hope that works.
Oh no! We've got one thing I've noticed is all the parents in the local area all have groups together, and basically see if there is a whiff of that shit. Apparently, their thing is to pull multiple children all at once out of the school until it gets dropped from the curriculum. Because basically, everybody went, the Muslims are doing it, why don't we do it? Like, basically, they go down to the school, they kick off and they get listened to, so everybody else is starting to do it as well, which I think is a great thing.
Yeah, this is a thing where collective action is the only thing. Because if one parent writes a letter, or if 10 parents write a stiff letter.
Yeah.
The school's just going to think, well,
fetch me my red pen, Barbara.
Yeah.
I'm going to write such an angry, fetch me my scribe.
that kind of thing. Yeah. It's not going to have any effect because the school's just going to think, well, fuck you. You're not taking your kid out and none of the other parents are doing anything. So you can just like it or lump it. Whereas actual people getting together does scare them. And because it does work. And as you said, with the Muslims, this is how they get their way. It's not surprising. It's not rocket science.
There was one thing, there was a statement I heard. I'm not saying I agree with this statement. I'm not saying that I encourage it. But there was a discussion about how the police and the government tiptoe around the Muslims all the time because they're worried about them kicking off and all that. And I heard someone say, we should make them that afraid of us.
Well, that
I'm just terrible. Oh, absolutely awful. Like, I'm not saying I agree with the statement. I'm just telling you something a guy said.
Some nutter.
Yeah, some crazy guy.
Yeah.
Mad tinfoil hat in his head.
Yeah.
listens to Alex Jones all the time.
Yeah. Chemtrails.
Yeah.
that kind of nutter. Yeah. I understand. Well, I mean, what can one say about that? It's
nothing. We should probably move on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Obviously, we don't want anything like that to happen.
Absolutely. Yeah.
the state knows best and should not be impeded by people getting ideas.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the public getting what they want. It's not the government's job.
Well, I wanted to ask you about the Scotland thing because, as I said, other people have talked about it, and it does seem to be, the SNP went, I think they went down an unnecessary route. If they had just continued with independence, we just want independence, that's it, that's our thing.
Yeah.
If they'd just done that, I think they'd be in a lot better, massively better position now. But instead, 100%, they went down the full woke path with brown guys giving speeches moaning about how white Scotland is and the trans stuff, which must just turn people away.
Well, I mean, the Ela Bryson thing was the final nail in the coffin for Sturgeon. That's what made her just nope the fuck out. That was the guy that fucking raped two women and then transed himself because he thought he was going to get sent to a women's prison. And it was fucking hilarious because it's just a guy in a bad wig wearing like a pink bomber jacket, but he's still got the fucking like Mike Tyson tribal tattoo going down his fucking face. Have you not seen the picture of the fucking guy?
No, I have.
Yeah, but basically,
there was a hilarious meme based on it that I was looking for there, but it doesn't matter.
It's basically they were going to send that to a fucking women's prison. A guy who raped two women. They were
and
going
he's
to send
built
him,
like a brick shit house. He's as well. I mean, he's
fucking
clearly, yeah,
yeah.
I mean, the idea that women seeing this guy would not be intimidated. Especially knowing that he has raped two women.
Yeah, him going in there would be like PUBG, but with rape.
Yeah. Exactly. I think if there hadn't been a public outcry, it would have just gone ahead. And presumably he would then have just, raped women in the prison.
That's what he would have done all the time. And the public blowback was like that much. And that was the thing is, there's not... Nicola Sturgeon's been through like a lot, but I think that one, it was bad, but not the worst thing she's ever been through. I think it was just the straw that broke the camel's back. She just went, fuck this, I'm out, and just noped out of the fucking party. I mean, she's still a party member, but she doesn't hold any leadership positions or anything like that. But then round about the same time is when her and her husband and a few other people in the SNP were getting investigated for all the fucking money that keeps going missing.
Yeah, I think that was probably what did it. That she knew that this was impending, so just best to get the fuck out off the stage.
Yeah, but I mean, even if you leave the stage, even if I murder a guy, and I'm like, I'm quitting YouTube. It's like, that's nice. You're still going to jail.
Yeah.
I would have kept the leadership position, you know, where I'm in charge of the country so that I could use all the connections to fuck around with the police and get myself off. She did a stupid thing.
Yeah.
You know, she disabled cheats.
Yeah. So, it was actually quite stupid. She should have consulted you.
Yeah, of course.
Common sense.
To be fair, not that much harder to have more common sense than Nicola fucking Sturgeon, Jesus.
But imagine if it got out that Count Dankula has advised Nicola Sturgeon.
Secret advisor. I'll do it. I'll fucking do it. I would 100% do that. Except I would just constantly give her bad advice. Like, I would give her one or two good things that would work, and then a third, like, really fucked up thing, like leak a sex tape. Like, that's the best way to take the heat off of anything you've done, just leak a sex tape.
That'd be funny.
Yeah. Hand this laptop down to the IT guy and then don't pick it up. They're just walking into the room and I'm feeling like, Nicola, this is crack. This is Mao Yeo and Ling Ping. You're going to fuck them on this. And I'm just in there setting up the lighting. We still want the photos to look good, like, you know.
Well, as good as they can possibly look with Nicola Sturgeon in them.
Yeah. Hashtag no filter.
Oh, gosh.
I'd be a brilliant PR guy.
I can just imagine the chaos, the anarchy.
Oh, yeah. Hopefully.
What was I going to say? Oh, yeah. So then she fucks that up one way or another. And she's had to go. Hamza Yousaf has got voted in. I think that whole thing is now over, the SNP. It seems, at least for a generation.
Next election. They're losing next election easily, yeah. They've been plummeting because even though, like, there's been so many Scottish people that you talk to and it's just like independence, 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 like that's it. And then you're like, but what about all the really fucked up stuff that the SNP has been doing, the money going missing, the fucking hate speech laws that lost us like fucking 12 places in the Freedom Index and all that shit as well? Like, we get knocked down heavily because of that hate crime bill and all that. And I was like, what about XYZ? And they're like, oh, we'll just get independence first and then we'll sort all that stuff out. Yeah, but these are basically... if you want independence, these cunts will then be free of the reins of Westminster. So if this is what they're doing now, imagine what they're going to be like when nobody is there to stop them.
Absolutely.
Like, so that's my problem. So I'm like, it's a case of like, okay, you want independence, but it sounds like you're willing to sacrifice everything to fucking get it. And it's like, ah, you'll be an independent pile of fucking ashes. Congratulations. Yeah.
And they wanted to rejoin the EU as well. So
not independence.
Yeah, exactly. Not independence. Yeah. Certainly not freedom. It's just... and, you know, this is the thing. I can
freedom
understand.
To take more migrants.
Yeah, that is well. More fucking mass immigration.
Yeah.
More diversity. You know, I can understand people wanting freedom. And I can understand Scottish people being pissed off at the English and the situation. Sure. But then why would you want to join the EU? And I guess their answer is, well, because that's voluntary. But the 1707 thing was voluntary as well. Anyway, the point is, obviously, that joining the EU would really... I mean, how the fuck would you get out of that?
The thing that people have pointed out is basically Scotland isn't even close to meeting the criteria to actually become a member state of the European Union. But I think just as a massive fuck you to England, the EU would just go like that. Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally. Totally, you can join.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And all that. So,
fast track it because they'd want it to happen.
Just to wave a middle finger in England's face. I believe, and then we would start getting very, very enriched.
Oh yeah,
after that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It would be a fucking disaster. So,
yeah.
But that's the thing, though. So SNP is going to be voted. I mean, the thing is, we can pretty much predict everything. The Tories are going to lose at Westminster in the next election. They're obviously fucked.
There might be a plan in place for that. By the way, have you heard?
the theory that they're going to bring Farage into the Tories to usurp fucking Rishi Sunak.
Maybe. I haven't heard indications, like hints of that, but I don't know how advanced.
I've heard some things from people who fucking definitely should know about it.
Right.
And I think it'd be fucking funny. This is the problem. I'm in this weird limbo where I'm like, I want good things to happen politically in my country, but then I find myself leaning towards the funnier option, even if it will cause chaos. I'm just sort of like, that sounds like it'd be absolute banter. Let's do that instead. Like, I don't know. I'm bad for it. I need to stop doing that.
Well, unless that happens and works, then the Tories are fucked.
Yeah.
Totally. The SNP are fucked in Scotland. Biden is, I think, almost certainly going to get replaced with Trump next year, unless they keep banning him from one state after another.
Yeah.
I see Colorado and Maine, and now Maine, have done the same things. I don't know. But otherwise, he's going to win. So in that sense, there's not that much tension, really. The question is not who are the public going to vote for. The question is, what are the establishment going to do to prevent this outcome? But we'll just have to wait and see.
I think it's going to be more trucks turning up at 4 a.m. with a lot of mail-in ballots in the book. Or they're just going to use the legal system to get rid of Trump completely, which again shows that it's a fake democracy that we live in. Because, you know, that the whole point I thought of democracy was people were allowed to vote for whoever they wanted. But then it's like, oh no, you can't do that. Like, even in Germany, they were planning on banning the AfD.
Yes.
Because they started polling at 25%. And the fact that that's even an option in a democracy, supposedly, shows that it's not a democracy.
Yeah.
I've spoken to some of the AfD guys and I've hung out with them. They're a good bunch.
Yeah.
The Polish right-wing parties are a very different kettle of fish altogether. Did you see what that guy done?
What?
Did you not see the fire extinguisher? Did you not see it?
That. Yeah. I saw that, yeah.
And that poor wee woman, she tried to, like, step in and he just fucking blasts her. And she's given, like, a fucking interview to the cameras after it and she's, like, white as a ghost. And everyone's going to get blasted. I was just like, I had it described to me. Someone went, did you see what just happened in the Polish parliament? And they told me, and I went, shut up, that didn't fucking happen. And then he just turns his phone around and I was just like, oh my God. No fucking way. Holy shit.
But then at the same time in Poland, I've been so busy with Millennial that I haven't had time to research stuff and find out what the fuck is going on. Because it seems to be that there's been some sort of EU coup in Poland in the last week or so. So I did see footage of the media company, TV company, and the people are forcing their way through the doors and all this. It's really weird. But I haven't had time to look into it and find out what's going on.
There is a shift happening in Europe. Like, I keep backing up all these right-wing people and everything. Like, I was really happy when Giorgia Meloni won in fucking Italy because she was like, the boats will stop. Grant, the boats didn't fucking stop, did they? And she's completely fucked it up. And then I was like big on Marine Le Pen in France, who isn't that great either. A lot of people prefer her grandfather, who was
misguided people, obviously.
Yes. He was a touch more hardline, just a touch. But I mean, to be honest, anything's better than Macron. But you had Geert Wilders fucking winning in Holland and all that as well. Sweden voted in a fucking right wing. Sweden, but to be fair, you know, if you want to talk about accelerationism, like, Sweden's, they've earned it. Like, I'm sorry, they've earned a right wing party. They've, you know, after everything they've fucking been through.
Oh, fuck.
Sweden is unrecognizable, man. Sweden is fucked.
I have said for years it's going to be either France or Sweden.
You
know, the tinderbox situation. It's going to be one of those two. And I stand
or
by
Germany. Germany's fucking coming up as well.
Well, yeah, but I mean in terms of civil unrest and stuff. You know, people just have had enough. They start, you know, acting up. I think it's going to be either Sweden or France. Sweden, as you say, it's weird, actually. I was in Sweden, I think, in 17, and Stockholm, and it was pretty fucking bad. But then I was there in 2019, and it actually looked a bit better. I don't know how. I think that they'd been dispersed out into the villages by then. I'm not sure. But yeah, you hear this stuff. You hear this terrible stuff from Sweden, and oh fuck, it's bad. Apparently, there are grenade attacks and
bombings are a regular occurrence now.
Yeah. I mean, it's like knives and guns aren't enough. It's going to be grenades.
Yeah. You know,
it's like something from a Judge Dredd.
It's
2000 AD. You know,
Cyberpunk,
I don't know.
Except it's Swedes.
Yeah. Exactly. Judge Swede.
Judge Swede. I am the law. I'm sorry.
It's a fucking bad situation. So I think we'll see. But I agree about, and France as well. Yeah. Giorgio Meloni is just a huge disappointment. We'll see about Geert Wilders. I don't know. But it's the weird thing about the Netherlands and about Holland is your mental image of it is, you know, hot young hippie girls smoking dope Doobies. In Amsterdam kind of thing. And it'd be a very libertine sort of stuff. It's actually quite a right-wing country, even now. Even now, it's still, surprising. So I think that is probably what's happened there. That's how Geert Wilders has got in.
It was mainly the farming thing that fucking did it, because they fucked over all of the farmers. It's happening in France as well. See the fact that they're basically the government's dicking with the food supply. There's a reason that they're fucking doing it, right? I would think, you know, see the people that literally grow our food, just leave them alone. Just leave them alone. They're doing a good job. Just let them grow our fucking food. But they keep fucking with them, and that's what's making me really suspicious. I think it's to purposefully cause food scarcity, and then the government becomes in charge of it. Because you don't need to control like everything. Everybody's talking about the Great Reset. Oh, they'll control cars and property, blah, blah, blah. You don't need to control any of that. If you control the food, that's all you need. That's it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's a whole thing in itself that has really seems to have changed this year. And it's come up on Millennial quite a few times, and I've asked this question to various people. The Great Reset, the WEF, the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab, that was all huge in 2020, from the middle of 2020 through to about a year ago, 2022.
Yeah.
And then it just seems to have fallen off the radar. I mean, I know that they're still there. I know that Klaus Schwab is still doing stuff. I know that they're still doing the conferences. They're still doing Davos.
Yeah.
But I don't. It seems to have fallen away.
They got too honest. This was because this was the thing is, I think it got to a point where everyone was like, it was a conspiracy theory, and then you were posting links from the WEF website, and you're like, it's not a conspiracy theory. Here they're saying on their website, this is what they plan to do. Like, this is what they're trying to bring in, and I think they were basically far too honest about it. I think they thought, we will control everything, you will live in the pod and eat the bugs, my grandfather was a Nazi, don't worry about it. Man, like, fucking, like, that shit, they were too honest, and it even made leftists start to go, wait a minute, this is real, this is what these guys are trying to fucking do, and even they get turned off it by that point. And I think even when they lost, you know, those authoritarian-loving leftists, like, I think when they lost them, that was it. It was dead in the water. Basically, you know, they took their mask off far too early, and everyone sort of went, this is just hyper-socialism, fucking communist utopia, fucking hold hands around the campfire singing Kumbaya while I get bombed and my trans daughter gets raped by a Muslim. This sounds like some bullshit. Like, nobody wanted it.
Yeah, I think so. It was too big and frightening. And, see, I had a voice clip of Klaus Schwab saying, frightening scenario.
frightening scenario. I've seen him bitching about libertarianism. There is a system called libertarianism, which is basically just the definition of freedom. People that want to be free, and he's like, this is bad. this is bad that people want to be free. And it's like, fucking, mate, listen, he's literally like a fucking cartoon villain.
That's the thing. I think he was a terrible choice as a front man because everyone says he's like a Bond villain. And he is. He just is. But what interests me is it just that the whole thing just seems to have fallen away. And I don't know if it's real or are they still going to be doing the Great Reset, Build Back Better, Agenda 2030? Or has it just been sort of
back burner? I think if you're associated with it, it's been poisoned too much now, which is great, which means it's going to fall away. They're just going to like slowly get rid of it. Loads of politicians are going to pretend that they were never part of it in the first place and all that. Because see, way back, I think it started in like the early 2000s, and they started as a sort of, oh, we want just, you know, sort of economic harmony with other countries. We want to provide services to people, blah, blah, blah. So lots of politicians went, oh, that sounds great. Sign me up and everything. Like, for example, Javier Milei, who just won in fucking Argentina and all that, you know, the libertarian candidate that's now the president of Argentina.
Yeah.
He signed up for it. Now, the thing is, he is staunchly anti-communist and anti-socialist, which is what the WEF became. But his name was still on like the masthead or whatever from way back when they were a totally different entity. And lots of politicians are starting to go, wait a minute, they do what now? Take my name off the website. That's not what I signed up for. And that's what you're seeing a lot of that now. It's basically the well has been thoroughly poisoned, so everybody's fucking bailing away from it. But the thing is, they were kind of honest about what their ultimate plans and goals are. So it will reappear as something else. It just won't be called the WEF. It will be some other fucking group that they come up with.
Yeah, that's what I think. It's a sort of tainted brand.
Yeah, so yeah.
They'll have to come up with a new brand.
Yeah, political suicide to be associated with it in any way, because if you're associated with the WEF, you're losing votes. You're losing votes from a lot of people.
Yeah, and again, it was fucking retarded. There were so many bad choices. Like from when Klaus Schwab said that we have our agents have penetrated the governments.
Yeah, like he said that.
I mean, do you want to sound like a fucking nutter?
Yeah. I mean, it was entertaining. See people that are just so honest like that. Like, there's a guy that I fucking talked to on Twitter. He's a raging, like, fucking tanky. Like fucking loves Stalin, but he fucking like loves open borders and all that stuff, but he fucking hates degeneracy. You would think he's one of those like leftists where he sort of like love open borders, love multiculturalism, but if you like anime titties, I fucking, you know, train. That man, right? And I love how honest he is with me, where I'm like, in your ideal world, what would happen to people like me, you know, that like freedom, like libertarianism and all that. And he just flat out says to me, gone. Like, you're gone. He goes,
is he autistic?
I don't know. I do get that vibe from him. But the reason I talk to him is I love talking to someone who's that honest, because you totally know where you stand with them. I love that. So I message him now and again to see what he's doing. And then we have this weird friendship where like he thinks that me and my people should be exterminated. All that, and I think that he should be left alone,
given a room, maybe with Lego bricks that he can play with.
Here, build a country.
Yeah, build an economic system. Go on.
Yeah, there you are. Here, we even get the big kids' Lego, the ones that you can't choke on.
I suppose we should probably get to the super chats, but I wanted to ask you, in terms of the future, SNP are fucked. Just one last question about this.
Yeah,
how do you about this? The prospects for Scotland, the Scottish Labour Party. I've forgotten the guy's name, but he's on, you know, also of a certain ethnic persuasion. What do you think the Scottish Labour is going to be like? Because they are going to get in. It's a done deal, really.
Terrible. They're going to be shit. Like, Because I know that Scotland was Labour for like some time, especially like after Thatcher. Scotland was very, very Labour for a while, but then they went SNP because obviously they blamed Westminster, blamed the Tories. We want independence. So that's it, basically just started as standard left wing stuff to we want a border between us and all those right wing baddies down in London and all that stuff as well. So, but Labour has become kind of weird under Starmer. Because under like Corbyn, it was fucking, they were all running around calling each other comrade and all that shit. You know, they were proper, communists. Just
it was quite old school, yeah.
Yeah. But now with Starmer, it's got different and weird. And but I don't trust it. Oh, Labour seem kind of normal now. Nah, they're not. They've still got all the same people in it. They just don't get handed the microphone as often. Like, well, a fucking Labour conference with that guy with his little tiny fucking bulge poking out his fucking dress. Did you see that?
I didn't.
You don't want to. No one, if anyone's in the chat or whatever, don't show it to him. It's a guy giving a speech. It's just a guy, right? But he's wearing a little pinstripe dress because he's trans or whatever. And you just see his little tiny fucking cock poking out the fucking dress. And it's like, here is Labour. Here's the future. This is what you're voting for. Basically, those people have been put away. They've been benched, right? You know, they've hidden all of them. But those people are very much still in the party and they still want the things that they want. Right, so even though Labour seem a bit more sane, they're fucking maniacs, right? So it's a case, it's still going to be shit. If Scotland gets Labour, it's just going to be shit. Nothing's going to change. I think Scotland needs to learn a really, really harsh lesson in regards to left-wing policies, like for it to understand that the right wing isn't to blame for everything. We're not all that bad. Some of the things that we want are greatly beneficial. You know, so it's one of those things, if the child doesn't believe that the hob is hot, let the little fucker touch it and learn the hard way.
Yeah. I have to agree. I think this is something that they just have to learn it the hard way. And it's the same with various things. I mean, you know, I try to warn people about mass immigration like 10 years ago, 20 years ago, and Scotland just hadn't had any. So they thought that I was just mad. Whereas I think a lot more people now realise, oh yeah, it actually is quite shit.
It's fucking horrendous. Like if you you know the Charles Rennie Mackintosh Hotel that's right in the centre of Glasgow, it's just up the road for the Cat House.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a migrant hotel, and every time I walk past it, like Charles Rennie Mackintosh, the famous Scottish fucking designer, and all that, you know, these hotels being used for migrants, I've walked past them and they're just openly selling drugs. I've seen them like holding needles in their hands and everything, just openly selling drugs as I walk past and all that stuff. And like sometimes I would take my wife and kids into Glasgow. I don't know. Like if I usually just go, oh, come on round to the, I'll nip round to the studio or something like that. Nah, I don't. I will only take them to very select places. That's why when my wife went, can we go to a Christmas market this year? I went, no. Like, because we're going
to bollards.
Yeah, exactly. I was just going to go, because all we're going to hear is beep beep Allah Akbar, and you're like, so that's why I didn't take them.
All right, okay. It's just a thing, isn't it? I mean, I've seen today on Twitter like four different European countries have put out warnings about Christmas, like basically. Don't go to Christmas market. Don't go to New Year's Eve celebrations. So they've had to step up. What was it? I think it was Britain has put 90,000. Which country? One of the countries has put 90,000 police on standby for New Year's Eve because they're assuming it's going to be.
Well, it's not Poland.
No.
They don't have to. Must be nice.
Indeed. Well, so far, that's the thing. I'm interested. I'm going to have to learn about this. What the fuck is going on there? It was very strange. But apparently, it was Donald Tusk, apparently. And I remember him from the EU about 5 years ago saying something awful. But I can't. I just know the name. But anyway, I can't remember what it was he said. It doesn't matter. So I'll ask you some of these super chats. Chips and salsa. Fair play to Dankula, risking his I can't read that word out. Risking his YouTube earnings for the cause of free speech. The cream of Scotland right here. We just
cream of Scotland. That's good.
Okay. We just need Critical Drinker to complete the squad. And Hamza Yousaf, of course.
Oh, that would be a stream.
He'd just be looking at us all saying, white, white,
white, white, white. Yeah.
That really was something else, that speech. Holy shit.
Oh, God.
Anyway, Sore Arm says, Marcus, I've enjoyed your work for many years and your spicy T-shirts. I always remember during your pug trial confronting that twat of a Sky News reporter outside.
James Matthews.
Absolute classic moment. Did he ever try and follow up on you, or did he just crawl under his rock? The system is truly evil, and we all support you.
I appreciate that. Thanks very much. Well, what ended up happening was, I think there was like shortly after that day outside the courthouse, I think there was a Rangers game happening somewhere, and James Matthews was on the ground like covering the Rangers game, and he got recognised by like fans who were going, and they saw him. They went, "How's that?" And they were running on camera and shouting, you know, G the J, right, and shouting that on camera. And basically they had to cut back to the studio because they were all running up and putting their arm around him and shouting it. So that was funny as fuck. That was hilarious. No, it wasn't. I disavow. What a terrible, awful thing.
Obviously, disavow. Yeah. It's just in terms of the narrative, the irony value.
Yes, of course.
But yeah, he looked so crestfallen when you said, "Context matters, mate."
I was,
he's like, it was tragic.
I was full of such adrenaline as well. I was amazed I actually strung a sentence together.
Well, you did seem to be on a high. And it worked out well. That, as I say, it's a classic moment. Webster says, "Hey, Woz and Count Dankula, I hope you two had a relaxing Christmas. I'm going to re-listen to this tomorrow. My statement is we need to make a proper right-wing party which intentionally ignores the diversity guidelines that makes your party official. If we win our people as time moves forward, we win our country." That's certainly true.
What will happen is you'll be attacked at every single corner and avenue in the media. They will bring you on TV to do hit jobs on you, and slowly but surely your party will fill up with federal agents.
That's the other side of it. This is unfortunate. They do.
If it would work, that'd be fantastic. That'd be great. But it's a fucking, basically, you're going to have shit tons of hurdles thrown in front of you on purpose that other parties don't have to deal with.
Exactly. They know how to thwart things, and they know how to infiltrate and take over and, you know, corrupt. The British state, I think, is probably the best for that, actually, in the whole world. So at least something we can be proud of, I suppose. That source of national pride. But anyway, Darby says, "Dankula in the based parent Facebook groups, lol."
The thing is, we used to make fun of it. We used to call it cringe with all the boomers on Facebook and stuff like that. But when it comes to stuff that's happening in the local area, it's something that you have to do. I get that it's cringe, but it's necessary.
I know what you mean. It's actually a thing, isn't it, that normies are on Facebook?
Yeah. You know,
that's where the normal people are. The people who aren't obsessed with politics and whatever, they tend to be there. And then so when something affects their local area,
saying that the vast majority of people hadn't heard about the Biden laptop. The vast majority of people hadn't heard about all the trans stuff and everything that's been going on for so long. But now it's actually starting to like pour out into the normie sphere, and they're all fucking talking about it now, which is good. You know, I just say we just sit back and let that one marinate.
Yeah, I'd say so. Let it do the work. Privileged Shitlord says, "Nicholas Turgeon is a disgrace." Thank you very much. Chips and salsa. "Dankula, when you were on Millennial a few years back, I asked your opinion on And
what was it?
He asked your opinion on the projected demographics in Britain by 2060, and you said you didn't think it would happen. Has your view changed?
I am not a civic nationalist anymore.
All right, that's great.
And we'll just leave it at that, and we'll move on.
Yeah. No Chance says Dank isn't a fan.
Fuck No Chance. Fuck him. He's a cheeky bastard. No Chance. Well, go on. What did he say? It's built. I guarantee you, it's going to start nice and going to end with something terrible. I bet you.
Kind of. He says Dank isn't a fan of the Refugees.
The Refugees, right?
Do you know about this?
No, what is that?
He explained it. He was on Millennial this year and he explained it. Apparently, the media or the left or whatever are referring to refugees in Glasgow as Refugees.
Oh my God.
So they're glad, like, he's a Ouija. He's a Refugee, but he's a Ouija kind of thing.
That's cringe.
Isn't it just hilarious? And then Maybe Next Time says, stabbings are part and parcel of a modern, sophisticated Western city, according to some. Yes, indeed, that is true.
Well, there was one thing that I did have to say. Well, machete attack in Glasgow, and everyone was going, oh, those migrants and immigrants and refugees and blah, blah. And I had to come out and go, nah, we've been doing that for a while. I was like,
we can do our own machete attack.
Yeah, and then the video came out and it was a bunch of Neds that were doing it. And I was like, yep, thought so. Yeah, that's why machete attacks anywhere else. Yeah, it's probably the migrants and refugees. In Glasgow, it's most likely us. It's fucking doing it. That's the strange one.
Homegrown. Yeah, this is a thing. Apparently Glasgow, like I think it was in the 60s, London police officers consulted Glasgow police officers on how to deal with, you know, violent crime because they were more seasoned in it than the fucking London police.
Oh, it was fucking, there's even a famous picture, like Glasgow was insane back during those times. There's a famous picture, I actually showed it in my the Razor Gangs of Glasgow video that I did. Well, there's an orange walk happening. Let's not discuss the nature of orange walks, right? But this is broad daylight in the middle of, I think it was Socky Hall Street back in the 60s, and it's a police inspector. So he's walking with like the beige long overcoat on and everything, and like this kid, just 17 years old, runs up to him with a razor and tries to slash him in the face. A police inspector in broad daylight in the middle of Socky Hall Street. And the police inspector looks badass. He's got like the big mustache. He's got a fag hanging out his mouth, blocking it with his arm, and he takes the guy to the ground. But the police kick the shit out of him. Because back then, the police would just knock the fuck right out of you and everything. But yeah, but that's how brazen everybody was with the violent crime back then. A policeman in broad daylight. This kid walks up and tries to slash him. So yeah, Glasgow used to be really bad.
Oh, fuck, yes. Awful.
Yeah. In fact, how old are you?
40.
Right, so you grew up in like the same heyday of the Neds as I did.
Yeah. It wasn't. I mean, I think in the 80s and 90s, I think this was kind of over. It wasn't like in the 60s where you had, you know, gangs.
It was very 60s, 70s, 80s, very, very prevalent. Very prevalent. I know that there was a big, massive upsurge like mid-2000s. Where like young teams and Fleetos were like a big thing and all that type of stuff. But I have seen that go away. Like there's still Neds and gangs and all that cutting about in the areas where it's become very ingrained in the culture, like Castlemilk, Easter House, blah, blah, blah. But you don't see as much of it nowadays, which is good. You know?
Yeah. It's, and did you ever see the film Small Faces? Like in the mid, late 90s, there was this film, probably made by the Film Scotland or whatever it was called. And that was about the 60s gang problem. And holy shit. And I remember seeing several others, like TV dramas as well. And there's one thing that's always stuck with me. It was this teenage girl getting cut in her face. You know, it's fucking awful stuff.
The slashings were a massive thing back then. Called it a chib or a Mars bar. Hello,
God almighty, it's awful. All right. And then Nathan says, thanks for all you do. I think this is for me. Thanks for all you do, especially Millennial. Thank you very much. And then, okay, there is a question from Slumtopia. Count Dankula is a highlight of Millennial. How have his political views changed since the last time he was on? I think he's already, from what he's said throughout this stream, I think it's quite clear that his views have changed on various matters. So
Hoppian paleo-libertarian is the best way to describe it. Because, see, like I said, when it comes to countries and everything like that, you know, one world government and all that stuff, you're not going to be able to keep it because of the dissent that's going to eventually happen, you know, inevitably due to the differences between people. So I think, you know, we should start redrawing a few borders. People can congregate together because everyone could have any type of government they wanted. You know, you could have a caliphate, you could have communism, socialism, national socialism, you could go anarcho primitivist if you fucking wanted. Basically, if people are allowed to ideologically or racially or religiously coalesce into their one singular area, then the governments that they create could actually make some fucking progress because they're not dealing with constant dissent. You know, it's a case of vote with your wallet, you can vote with your geographic location. That's the way. It's obviously a lot more complicated than that. That's a very short explanation of what I want. Basically, I think like-minded people should be allowed to congregate together and enforce their own borders. You know, if next door wants a wide range of restaurants and uncontrolled immigration, they can have it. But that only affects where they're from. It doesn't affect where I'm from, which is going to be defined by very strong and defended borders.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. Yeah. I think that's the way America's going. It's going to secede because I just cannot see these people living alongside each other for long. The white...
We can't, especially not in the democratic system, which by its nature breeds conflict among the masses. That's what it does. Instead of it being, you know, it's us voters versus the other voters, instead of it just being against the state itself.
Well, exactly, and this is what's going on in America. You can see that I hate to say the left and right, because that's not quite correct, but the Republicans and the Democrats, it's all about kind of like Labour and Conservative in England, where it's all about this endless, very bitter war, the tribal war between these two, well, the supporters of these two parties.
Yeah.
And it just goes on and on and on because it's so deep-seated, but it's completely fucking pointless. I mean, it doesn't help anyone.
It just keeps everybody fighting each other. So, you know, it's a nice little distraction.
Yeah, yeah. And the parties, there's really nothing to choose between them, increasingly. But I agree that the tensions are getting so bad that I just don't think... I think you're going to end up with secession, and probably not just in America.
It's called national divorce.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. That, but we're basically left and right just go... We can't fucking live together. Let's just draw a line in the sand. You stay on your side, we'll stay on ours. And I can tell you already which country's going to do so much better.
So can I.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's end it there. This has been great. I've really enjoyed this. And it's been nice to catch up. It's been too long, and I apologize for that.
I was hoping to see you when I was down in London. And all that, but I know that during the time I came down, you were doing Millennial and all that. Yeah. So I was like, I'm not going to bother him and all that because I know he's doing like three streams a day and shit. So,
yeah. Four and sometimes five.
Excellent. Yeah,
I do appreciate that being considerate there because otherwise it would have been great to meet up. But yes, thank you very much. I'll be back in 15 minutes with Martin Lichtmess. But yeah, in the meantime, Count Dankula, thank you for appearing on Millennial 2023.
No worries. Thanks for having me, man. It's good to be back.
All right. Excellent. See you later.
See you, man.
We hope you're enjoying Millennial. The journey must continue, but it needs your help. T-shirts and mugs and other wondrous gifts are available at the merchandise store. Impress your family, friends, colleagues, and business partners with these incredible items.
All aboard.
Millennial amounts to 3 months of work for the vile vlogger. Please help him continue. Until next time. next time. Enjoy the journey and spread the word.